Welcome to episode 2 of the yet-to-be-properly-named Pirate Podcast. This time around, it's going to be less scripty-scripty, a bit more freestyle. We're sat in the West Adams studios this time at the end of an open session, the one that I was meant to play at, and then unfortunately gave my slot up to a customer, because that's the kind of guy I am. I am here with Danny. Say hi, Danny.
Hello.
Shit.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that.
I'm sorry. That's funny though, because I kind of caught you up on my mic. So
yeah. Hello. Yeah, I'm here.
That was off script. Okay, what happened? We got greedy on the last one and tried to squeeze way too much into a single episode. So here we are with episode 2, Locked and Loaded. I have some notes from Danny from podcast 1.
Oh yeah.
Sit closer to the mic. Speak louder. Stop sounding like a posh British twat.
Oh, that one, I don't know if you can change that one.
That's like sackable offense there. okay, I'll see what I can do.
It's going well.
Yeah, thanks. I'm just going to freestyle some of this stuff. I do have a little bit of a script in front of me because we're going to be playing a track from an international artist, and I'll read a little bit about them. And also we want to do a thanks to the person that contributed the jingle for the first couple of episodes. We will be doing a call out, which will be our competition from episode 2, for you lot to submit a jingle to win £200, dollars or euros for wherever you live. Doesn't really make sense, but we'll go with it.
It makes sense.
So I'm going to go for the intro to the artist who has given a track for us this month. Or maybe not even month. It might be this week. Who knows? Seem to be crushing through these podcasts like nobody's business.
Whoa. Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
Let's
here.
Let's not. Okay, fine. So yeah, residing in London, Idris Miles is an artist and songwriter who fuses the sounds of rap, trap, R&B, drill, garage, grime, and hip-hop. That's a lot. Valuing music that shares a meaningful and powerful message. He is summed up by tight-pocketed flows, lucid concepts, and sheer energy. Idris has been perfecting his craft for the better part of a decade. In current times, he has been championed by BBC Introducing, played regularly in national radio stations like KISS, Radio 1 Extra, Capital, and participated in various online platforms such as SBTV and LinkUp TV. The song, entitled Absolute, is a soon-to-be-released single off his sophomore album, out later this year, entitled Enoch. The song was purely made at a time when Idris wanted a change of scenery from the standard drill/tempos he was releasing. You can find Idris on social media under the handle @IdrisSmiles_. That's @IdrisSmiles_.
Feel like I'm 1,000 miles above everybody. I don't see no point falling, I ain't coming down. Feel like I'm on a roll now. You can't tell me slow down. Well now, why you moving wild? Pillow Santa with the mix. Red wine but it's spritz. Baby come and take a sip. Get you in the mood, have you in the clouds. On y va ma cherie. These people keep talking so loud. I said silence in the room. Silence in the room. I've been trying to get to know you, baby. Come on, tell it fool. This feeling's absolute, yeah. I've been in the mood, baby. Silence in the room. Silence in the room. I've been trying to get to know you, baby. Come on, tell it, fool. This feeling's absolute, yeah. I've been in the mood, baby. Feel like I'm barrel rolling through the solar system, and these drugs got me feeling non-existent. It's nuts.
All right. We would also like to thank Chloe Padilla. That's CHLOPADILLAA on Instagram for the jingle, which we love, but it wasn't necessarily made for this podcast. So we're reaching out to the international community once more, as mentioned. Send us a jingle for use on the pod for the chance to win $200, pounds or euros. You know the script. We still don't have a designated email to send it to, so send it to Danny. Just kidding. That's all good. Send it to me at sammy@pirate.com. That's sammi@pirate.com. So yeah, let's get on with the pod, which we recorded a week ago. So excuse any jarring sound issues. And also you're going to hear Kate's voice too, because she was in the room previously. And you're also going to hear from Jordan. But all of this is not Danny's fault, I promise.
Perfect.
So next up, I'd like to introduce Jordan Smith, who is an artist manager that I've known for a year or so now. We actually met at Coachella, which was fun.
It was.
But we'd been in touch prior because his artist, AKA The Savior, uses the studios. Jordan is the founder of S Plus Management, which has the likes of AKA The Savior, Sagoon, The Hold Up, and many, many more on its roster. He is also the co-founder of lo-fi label Arden Records, alongside his artist Sagoon and their colleague Andrew Kwan. He's a big advocate of Pirate, but I'm hoping to have some useful insights on what we can be doing better. I've definitely received a few texts or calls when everything is not as it should be at the studios from Jordan. So without further ado, I'll hand over to Jordan to likely give a much more extensive introduction on himself, and then we'll fire him some questions. My hope is that any inspiring artists out there get some pointers or advice on their next steps, not just towards management, but on their career in general. So over to you, Jordan.
Thanks, Sammy. I appreciate you.
Good to be here. I think, you know, you summed it up well, but just to shout out, you know, I'm from a small town called Pismo Beach in California, grew up there. I grew up playing guitar and I thought that's what I wanted to do with my life. And then I was slapped in the face at a summer program at Berklee College of Music for guitar. And I said, wow, I'm not that good. And maybe I should rethink my career path. So, you know, kind of since then, just been on like the business side of things. Ever since graduating college, I went to Musicians Institute in Hollywood for their music business program. And then now lived in LA for 6 years. I've been managing artists independently on my own since 2019. And then started Arden Records 2.5 years ago. So in 2022. Been doing those, you know, full time on either side, for a bit now. So yeah, I think like across the roster, I have 5 like core artists across 4 genres, and I always wanted my roster to reflect my taste in music. Cause I feel like, you know, to me, music is about what makes you feel something. And I think that some people really try to gear down to one specific genre across their roster. And it's, to me, it's like, well, then maybe you're going to conflict a lot of opportunities. So for me, I've tried to like, yeah, kind of go in different ways and lanes, across that. And, you know, now with the lo-fi label as well, it's a lot of fun stuff. So keeps me busy.
Good job. You don't have shit taste in music, I suppose.
I hope not. Yeah. I'll let you be the judge if people check out the roster after this, but
yeah, that's the benefit of having all the different genres. There's something for everyone. Right.
For sure.
I'd imagine.
Yeah. And, you know, it allows me to meet different people in different spaces, you know, and, you know, my network kind of becomes bigger.
Nice.
Because I'm not like, this is only a hip hop, you know, artist and I have 5 of them and that's the only people I'm talking to. You know, I'm across like lo-fi production, for Sagoon, The Hold Up is like pop, reggae, R&B, fusion, AK, The Savior, and Mitch are like in the hip hop space. And then I've been trying to take on a few new things lately. But yeah, it's all over the board. Super fun. So.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Shall we get going with the questions then?
Yeah.
I'm asking myself as the one who's asking the question.
What do you think, Kate? Should we ask the questions?
Ask the question.
Ask away. Okay. First up, how did you get into the management game?
Yeah, I think... So after, like I said, after I was like, oh, I don't want to be a guitarist anymore. I was like, what's there to do in music? And, I think growing up, I went to so many shows, you know, growing up in Pismo, it was either like going up to the Bay Area or down to LA to see a show. And, so I was like, maybe touring could be cool. But then I found out like what management was and I was like, oh, that seems really great to like be connected to the artists and like supporting them. And I always felt like I was, you know, one of my friends in high school always showing my other friends like the up and coming artists or new stuff and always around there. So, that kind of led me on this path. So I started on the music PR side, was like my first internship. And then after that, I worked on like some touring stuff for this label, in the R&B world for a little bit. And then I was in like the dance space for a year as an assistant. And I was like, I want to feel something again. I want to like, you know, work with people that, you know, fulfill me and that I believe in, at the core of, you know, going back to like these artists that I would find growing up that I felt like they deserve more attention. So through that, I was like, okay, well, management seems cool. So I kind of like went back into the PR side of things, more of like an A&R role to like bring clients in. and started just like managing an artist who I forgot to mention earlier, Eliyahu, who's in my hometown. He still lives in Pismo. And that was kind of the catalyst of me managing artists. And that was while I was still working like in the dance world. And I was like, wow, this is great. And then connected with another artist after that. And I was like, oh, so, you know, this is what it's like. But I was learning, you know, along the way, even though I had experience as an assistant, I was like, you really don't know until you throw yourself in. So as I was like building up the roster, you know, and all of that, it kind of just like snowballed into getting busier and connecting with more artists. Like Sagoon, you know, was my third artist I ever started working with, and like seeing someone on the numbers end that had more going on, being able to support that, you know, opened up more work, and then met more artists and got more busy. And, you know, just kind of, I think I've always built or like tried to build my business on just being a good human being and being passionate. And so like, you know, I think at the end of the day, the artists I've worked with have always like started from, do I believe in their music? Do I believe in them as humans? And I think that, you know, that's kind of just led me to now working with my roster now. So
yeah. That's great.
Yeah. It seems like it was natural for you. Sorry, you were going to say something.
Well, it's just nice to hear someone that really cares about the music and what kind of music they're putting out versus like there's promoters that just kind of hodgepodge events together. Yeah. And it's like, there was no thought in this at all.
For sure. So, yeah. Like a lot of things don't make sense these days. I think I've always tried to, even though maybe my genre choices don't make sense, like all, if you look at it on a table, but I think for me, it's been, yeah, like I said earlier, like just great to like shift gears and like not conflict and like have these like specific avenues across the roster I work with. So,
yeah.
Nice.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I imagine some of our artists would be interested to hear the answer to this one. How do you go about finding your artists? Perhaps maybe take us through an example of how you began to represent one of the ones on your roster.
For sure. Yeah. I mean, I think, again, the core and the catalyst was working with Eli because we grew up in the same hometown. And I feel like Pismo and the Central Coast area is such a bubble. And so I feel like coming from that area, we like understand each other better. And I think like that, you know, he's worked on music a lot over the years and like has gone into other avenues like over COVID, and, you know, he's finding his way back to releasing stuff soon. But he's like more so my confidant on the whole business now for me, of like shooting ideas back and forth and doing fun things and like just having that trustworthy person. I think more than anything, like gave me inspiration to support someone from where I come from. And then Sagoon, you know, yeah, we met through a mutual friend. I mean, he's a, you know, producer from Nepal. So he was born and raised there. He just moved to LA within the past year. You know, we worked remotely from LA to Nepal for 4 years before meeting in person.
Wow.
Which was wild. And I was able to go there last year and, you know, see his hometown and meet his family and like understand his culture more. And I think that's like that, even that, like, has made a difference in our working relationship, because, you know, I now know where he comes from and now he's here and, you know, he made a whole life change. So yeah, met him through mutual friends, and then, you know, through the holdup in AK, I was fans of them growing up, and that it's still weird to think about that. I'm like, I listened to them in high school and now I'm like supporting their career. But again, I think it's just like how you connect, and life is just strange. You know, sometimes there's no explanation, but yeah, how I connected with them and now like, yeah, again, get to represent their career and like in this different stage and, support their music, you know, it's incredible. And I think like otherwise, I don't necessarily seek new clients a lot. I think when I'm like pursuing an artist, it has to just kind of like hit me, and like, there's never an explanation, I think, for the it factor. I've been like, for some reason, this has been coming up in a lot of conversations lately. Like, there's no like, this is what the it factor is. I think it's different for each person. But if like I see something online or I hear a song on coming up on a playlist or whatever, I'm like, whoa, this is sweet. And then I go and check them out deeper. I'm like, wow, this has potential. But a lot of stuff is, yeah, just like you said, like come together organically. Like it's really like, because of just being in the right place at the right time and life aligning, has led me to work with who I work with. So
great. And which of those is your favorite artist? No, I'm joking.
No.
Don't yeah, do me like that, Sammy.
Well, and I think emphasis on like the the organic connections that are made and like being able to work with each artist in their specific way that they like want to be represented. The fact that you can like kind of meet them halfway or morph and to the way you work together is just like something that's not really, there's not really one formula for it or like one answer. So
yeah, I think it's really understanding them as human beings too.
Yeah.
I think that's a huge part of it, you know, for sure. That's like gotten me further along than maybe some other people, at least with like the relationships I have, you know. It's you got to care. You got to care and you got to be a fan of the music. So
yeah, actually, considering what you've just said, I wonder, I might jump a couple of questions to, you know, what do you consider to be the most important aspect of an artist-manager relationship?
Yeah, it's a good one. I mean, I think it's different for everyone, at least, but so I'll speak on what at least means the most to me. But people that separate as managers personal life from business, I think are doing it completely wrong. I think, you know, throughout the 5 years I've been doing this, like the ebbs and flows of the human experience. Like if you don't understand them as people, then you can't be like, oh, they're going through something right now. We need to pivot this release plan. And even if it's sucks and I have to like uproot everything that we tried to do and build for a long time, like you just roll with it. And I think like you won't have the willingness to do that if you're not close with them on a personal level. Because again, like I think the manager artist relationship is very similar to a friendship, to like a marriage almost per se, you know? So if you're not like supporting them in all ways, to me, there's always, you're going to find some like cracks along the way. And then, you know, sometimes too, it's in the beginning, it's different and there's no issues, but then as people change and grow, and time goes on, you might like see like, oh, maybe this isn't someone I want to work with anymore, or this needs to change if I'm going to continue to do this. But yeah, I would say honestly, just understanding them as people and seeing the vision and supporting their vision. I think sometimes like managers forget that it's not our business. We are supporting someone else's vision and goal, and you can have ideas, and that's the best relationship, is when you're feeding off of each other, and it's, you know, a very good yin and yang, you know, always like support system. But if we're just acting like the manager knows best, you have to do it this way, and our artists like, you know, be like, that's not how I want to do it, then, you know, again, you have to like support their vision and their creative goals and their, you know, dreams in the long run. So
well, and it seems like you've joined them in the studio at times if you're giving feedback to Sammy about the studio space.
For sure.
So I think that's got to be helpful too, just like kind of just being there along for the ride, like seeing their process.
Yeah, and sometimes that takes time for them to want you to be in there.
Yeah, fair.
Well, and not only on top of that, trusting your creative feedback, I think that takes a lot more time. But yeah, I have a very, like, I see, like a very like solid respect across the roster of like, what do you think of this song? What would you change? And the more like good perspective and ideas you have. And I think that just comes from being a lover of music. I know what I like and I hear things and I think, oh, maybe change this, or I didn't like that lyric, or, you know, this outro wasn't faded out properly, you know, or whatever. So, there's all the little things, but I think, yeah, it just takes time and trust for sure. But I love seeing the creative process happen, because I think then you even understand it too on a deeper level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
Nice.
Cool. I'm not sure which one to ask of these two questions, but no one else can see.
Flip a coin.
So that's not very helpful.
Flip a coin. Yeah, I know. Too bad.
What qualities do you look for in an up and coming artist when considering representation besides their talent?
Besides their talent.
Yeah.
Work ethic.
Okay.
Through and through.
Nice.
I think early on, and this is, yeah, it's definitely changed for me since I started managing artists, but early on I was like, if their music's great, I want to do it. You know, I want to get the experience. I want to jump in. I think that good music reaches good people, which is still true. And I still believe in that. But I think running a business, being a successful artist, and I think success is, you know, to each their own, but, you really got to have the drive. I think like the only reason I'm able to do what I do is because I wake up every day and I work and I do what I need to do and always am there and around and, you know, consistent. So if an artist is like, yeah, I just want to put out music and see what happens, I'm like, well, it just takes way more than that these days. You know, you gotta want it really bad, because there's more and more people every single day that are trying to be artists now. So if you're not being consistent, then you're not going to cut through the noise. You know, you're just going to fall into the abyss of all these other people. So yeah, I think more, it's more so work ethic than anything these days, and being a good human. I think like if I want to go grab a drink with them and not talk about work. Yeah, I think both of those combined is great, because you, then you get the best of both worlds. So
yeah.
How often does that happen? Drinks without talking about work?
Like never.
Yeah. I mean,
but we can pretend.
You know that you can do it.
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah. No, I think there's times when it's not like that, but,
we're not there yet, are we?
No. No.
It does seem
I would
like,
say we are.
It does seem kind of like, since we're in LA, maybe you have insight on this from being from a smaller town in mm-hmm. Pismo. Like in LA, it's not too hard to find talent.
Yeah.
You know, like if we go to open mic or yeah. there's just a plethora of people.
100%.
But the people that will show up, the people that will follow through on mm-hmm. what they said they were going to do.
Yeah.
For sure. Is that, would you say that you saw that mostly when you came to LA, or was that something you kind of noticed in Pismo?
Yeah. And there wasn't many artists back home. Which was one of the reasons why I was like, oh, Eli's sick. Like he's one artist doing cool things out of my hometown. Now there's been a couple really cool artists out of SLO in the recent years. This band called Honey Boys, is really dope. They've been like doing a lot more lately, but yeah, it was few and far between. So when I came to LA, I was like just meeting creatives all the time. And I'm like, whoa, it's overwhelming sometimes. But I think, again, there's that click, that it factor of when you meet the right person, you're like, fuck, I like really, sorry, can I cuss?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's allowed.
Amazing.
Fuck, he's fuck the only yeah. one who's been doing it, but.
Yeah, well now I'm probably just going to let it fly, and I apologize to my grandma who's going to listen to this.
Shit.
And,
shit.
Sorry, Nana. But yeah, when I really fuck with an artist, it's like so many, takes on so many levels. Cause you know, you hear, like you said, you can hear talent, like you throw a stone and it's there. Mm-hmm. So there's just like that other factor that, you know, you got to look for as well. And yeah. I think that a lot of it's emotional, which is weird to act on, cause it's not necessarily a logical decision, but
it is kind of in the world of like the arts, you know, this yeah. isn't
true
banking. We're not doing accounting here. We're
true.
Like talking about literally what makes you feel something, what makes yeah. you feel alive.
So. And that's what's so great about music, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Couple of clarifications for our international listeners. I thought I'd be doing more of this, but SLO,
all right.
San Luis Obispo.
San Luis Obispo.
What we're saying, like a 4-hour drive north of LA or six?
3.5.
Okay.
Yeah, I would yeah. say most of the time, 3.5, okay. give or take.
Like halfway between us and San Francisco?
Pretty much, yes. SF is a little farther from SLO, like it's like 4.5, 5 from,
and it's the coast.
It is, yeah, yeah. You take the 101 north from LA, and you'll have to drive through Pismo Beach. Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
and to fuck with here means something entirely different from most places.
Oh, it's not positive.
Working with them or into yeah, them, yeah. as opposed to winding them up.
Oh, oh yeah. Well, there is that too.
Okay.
No, that does apply here. It's just yeah. context.
Context.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Fine.
Like, well, do you
yeah,
fuck
I'm
with
sure,
this?
I'm sure everyone. Yeah. I'm sure everyone knew, but I was just making sure.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. Got it.
I also just wanted to say fuck again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the whole reason.
Okay. Chill.
Actually, hey, this is fun. I just found out that if you say show out in the UK, they might think you're talking about a play.
Not a concert.
Not a concert.
It's a gig.
We got confused for a second about what we were doing.
I like gig.
Yeah, gig's I like
good.
Gig.
Gig's good.
But they thought I wanted to take them to a play like Shakespeare.
You're like,
I'm at a concert.
No.
Why do you work at yeah. Pirate if you don't want to go?
Sammy definitely thinks everything is a play when you say show.
Yeah,
sure.
That's, you know, I had
it's
no
ingrained
idea.
Into
the world's
his DNA.
A stage.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
What are, yeah, is yeah. there.
I have more questions.
Yeah.
Is that loud?
It's allowed.
You're allowed.
Okay. Maybe like one
boss.
Or two more.
Okay, sounds good.
That's what it's looking like.
So tell us what you're up to with S Plus Management right now. What you got going on?
Yeah. Let's see. I mean, Sagoon and AK the Savior both are rolling out an album that's like they made together. So Sagoon produced the entire thing. AK is obviously rapping on the whole project. So it's the first time that I've been able to roll out something that is like all in house, which is super exciting.
Yeah.
And we started working on this album in 2021, maybe remotely. Sagoon was still in Nepal, and AK and I started working together through the process of this album. So now it being out in the world almost, it was 4 singles in, the album comes out on April 5th. It's beautiful. I mean, the project's great. It's 14 songs, like all
wow.
Sagoon beats and AK's lyrics. I mean, there's some amazing features on there. And so that's been rolling out. I'm excited for that to fully be out in the world. Amazing stuff. And then the Hold Up just started his album rollout 2 days ago. The first single came out and we're doing pretty wild rollout. We're doing a single every 2 weeks. Rapid fire to wow. build the albums. So we're going to waterfall like the whole thing, like single until we have, I don't even know. He hasn't even told me how many songs at this point. So it could be, we'll see how long this takes us through the year. But he's working on that. My artist Mitch is working on an EP. Almost done. Eli's working on some music. So everyone's busy. It's been a crazy year.
They have that work ethic. Mm-hmm.
They do. They do. It is. Yeah. It's, yeah. So it's nice to like, I feel like last year was a very like ground yourself and work on things. And this year is like action, all of the things that they worked on. And then everyone, you know, hopefully will get out on the road, do some shows later this year.
Nice.
But yeah, it's definitely been a busy time. This year is flying already. So
that is good to hear.
That's cool. Cause I think a lot of, I mean, now it's the age of like anyone, you know, you can learn how to record and you can learn how to engineer yourself, but, and there is the scare of like signing yourself over to a record label, a big one, and then you lose all of your rights or whatever to your stuff. But there is something really magical about like the smaller labels mm-hmm. when you meet other, like the label mates.
Yeah.
They meet and somehow like they would maybe never have met before.
For sure.
Unless they had that you as a mutual mm-hmm. connection.
Yeah, and that's it's very special because then it's like again I get to represent like two sides of my management career in one.
Yeah.
And Sagoon has always wanted to do a hip hop project.
Nice.
And and you know, obviously again, like this led me to be like AK's manager. So this is like it's a really special one. And I've been loving how it's been coming out. So yeah, make sure you check that out.
Cool. Absolutely.
We will do. Okay, Danny, you gonna give me two more questions?
Sure.
Yeah.
Two more questions.
Firstly.
Allowed?
Is that out? Two I'll more allow questions.
It. No. That was allowed. That was allowed.
Got it. Oh, I see.
And then they're cutting us off, man.
Yeah. I'm turning off the lights.
What the hell?
Wow. And the mics.
Unbelievable.
Lights first.
The power. Kill switch.
We have pre-discussed this. I'm not putting Jordan on the spot. We want to hear a track from one of your artists.
For sure.
So can you introduce said artist and track potentially? Maybe that would be better coming from them, but
I can, just
love
for
to
sure.
love to do that. We're not actually going to listen to it right now.
That's fine,
but we will when we get the podcast out.
Totally.
It's crazy, isn't it, how this works?
So nuts.
Yeah, no, so this is the Hold Up's new single, first single from his album. It's called Lucky One. His album is called I Owe the IRS $60,000, which is true, and this is our whole marketing plan with the album now. But it's real. It's truly real. So
yeah.
That's why we're just going hard and doing it, you know, to save himself. but yeah, again, I think like, you know, like I said earlier, I've listened to The Hold Up since I was in high school and I've seen his sound and sonics change and mold. And I think this is the best music he's ever made. No bias. Truly, like this song is amazing. All of the songs coming up are really good. But yeah, this one's called Lucky One.
Rationalized logic, and you're only a prophet when it comes to bullshit. So I ask myself, maybe I should give up, maybe I should go for it. So my body makes me stop, I can't predict the future. Or maybe I'll get married, or maybe I'll just let it go. If I don't even know what I want, someone tell me who does. It's obvious I got no clue what anyone is supposed to do. See, I'm just making guesses too and fucking up the whole way through. I'm praying it works when leaving this earth. I've learned how to smile when everything hurts. I'm giving my life, I'm giving my shirt at least. Take away my screams and all my silly reasons.
Final question.
Okay.
Kind of two questions, really.
Whoa. Sweet.
Tell us one thing or something or many things you love about Pirate, but also something that you hate about Pirate.
Yikes.
Yeah, hate.
Can you do hate first so we end on a better note?
I can do hate first. I don't know if I specifically hate
is
anything.
So strong. That's what I was going to say. I mean,
hate has to be hate.
No, but the thing is, the very few things that I hate as well, it's like strongly dislike or
just me. Everything.
Maybe not even.
Wow.
That's a joke.
I would say the one thing that is just, it's not even, I don't fully hate it anymore. It's just, like when we walked in before this, I was like, this is the maze. And I think all of the locations are a maze.
That's
and
relatable.
I've gotten lost many times in pirate locations. and on top of that, something I've texted Sammy about frantically many times is, because of the bad people that come here and steal gear, my artist can't use some things. Now,
it's
wrong that these people are stealing things for the good ones to use a microphone during a DJ practice.
Yep.
But that's not necessarily a reflection of pirate. It's just a reflection of people who do wrong to pirate. So don't do that. Let's have a great experience, everyone.
Yeah. That's a nice shout out. I appreciate that as a site manager.
For sure. I mean,
that shout out.
On customer service too. Like, there's nothing worse than finding like all you need is one more cable or all you need is, you know, like, and it just sucks when they can't continue with their whole session because.
Yeah. And then there's not the option because people have made it bad for everyone. But luckily Sammy lets it slide sometimes for my guys, always supports. but what I love.
Selective theft.
Yeah. What I love about pirate more than anything, selective theft, hilarious. What I love about pirate is the ability for artists to hone their craft on many different levels affordably. I think that no one else does it like you guys, that like opens a space up that doesn't completely break the bank. And I think, you know, all levels of artists come here. Mm-hmm. And I think that just shows like, oh, like, you know, these days of doing so much in your room or that's possible, like just having a change of scenery sometimes can really like open up creativity in a new way. And I think that's what you guys have like really honed in on is like making everything accessible for artists of all levels to really like help. It's like, you know, any rehearsal, any studio session or, you know, podcast like this, like you've made it possible for people to pursue creative endeavors in a way that's not like, great, now I can't pay rent.
yeah, it's one or the other. Yeah.
So that's the best part. And obviously how you guys support people like myself and my artists and show love to people that show love to y'all. You know, I think that not a lot of businesses do that in an organic, thoughtful way. I think it's hard to find. So yeah, appreciate the support as always.
Sweet. You got
that was awesome.
You got my money then. Nice. I sent.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's okay. Joke. That's a joke.
That's a joke.
That's a joke. A joke. I have to clarify.
Was not paid to
Nobody
do that.
Was paid.
All the money Sammy paid me went straight to the valet.
It went to the IRS for the 60,000.
Exactly. Yeah, it went straight into the hold up.
Yeah, that kind of hits home. That's a smart one to release right around tax season. I'm like,
for real.
Maybe I will eventually owe that much. They're coming.
Yeah, I will not explain in detail, but check it out.
That's all good. We'll check out.
Definitely.
So perfect timing because I've been logged out of my email and therefore don't have any more questions in front of me.
Okay, great.
I don't have an original bone in my body, so
I can't
come with one off the spot, but what I will say is thank you so much, Jordan.
Of course.
On. It's been really good getting to know you over the last year or so.
Agreed.
Love all your artists, love that you use the studios, and yeah, just like really excited for what's to come for both you and your artists.
Thank you so much.
And the label too.
Yeah, appreciate it. You know, I'm again, always appreciate the love you guys show, and it's awesome to be here. So thanks again for giving me the opportunity.
Sweet. Thank you.
Great to chat. Thank you.